This is Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
Hello? Ali?
Hello? Is that you, Uniforix? Yeah, I'm here.
I can't believe Andy's done this to us.
I know, mate. It's talk about hitting the deep end, isn't it?
I mean, I didn't even realise that this was a real asylum.
I had absolutely no idea myself. It's pretty massive in here as well.
Yeah. What do we do? We don't have to do this.
Yeah, you're right, actually. We must be mad.
I tell you what. Let's go to the pub.
I think we definitely need something to calm the nerves, don't we?
Too right, mate. I'm shitting bricks. I tell you what, I'm editing, so I'm just going to leave him with 30 minutes of Barry Manilow. That's retro, right?
It'll do. Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down her hair. She would merengue and do the cha-cha. And while she tried to be a star, Tony always tended bar across the crowded floor. They worked from 8 till 4.
The UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
Welcome to Retro Asylum, podcast number 48. We're here, it's me, myself, Uniforix, and the Retro Hunter. I was up until 3 a.m. last night, messing around with the machines, just trying to get it to work. And I tell you what, today I have been so clumsy. I could hardly speak when I got down to the train station this morning. I bought a bottle of water and I just talked a load of gibberish to the guy that I bought it off. And then when I've come home tonight, my daughter's been here. She said, "Oh, the washer's playing up." And I said, "Yeah, well, I'll take a look at it. Because it's a bit dodgy. It never sticks on the right settings." So I'm messing around with it. Pull the knob off. So I push it back on, twist it all around. And the fault that it had before works perfect now. But then she says to me, "Yeah, that's all right, but the dryer's still playing up." The dryer, what happens is it sticks at like sort of 20 minutes before it finishes. It just, the timer just sticks and it just carries on going. Jokingly, I went over to it and I said, "Right, it's your turn now." And I wasn't going to do it, but knob came off in my hand. She was doing that absolute hysterics because I did not mean it. But honestly, I've been clumsy as hell. It's probably because I was up till 3 a.m. sorting Skype out. Nightmare.
I'll tell you what, though, I've been a bit clumsy myself. I was speaking to a friend out in the garden, kicking the football around, and you know, when a ball goes into the back of a net and you walk behind the goal to give it a kick out again.
Yeah.
Well, the missus was outside also, just outside the house, and I was on the phone to a friend, as I said, and as I kicked the ball back through the net, my foot got stuck. And while holding the phone in my hand still, I completely timbered like a tree being cut down, and then just continued to have the conversation and then hung up, and the wife was laughing at me. So yeah, I think it's catching, mate. I think it's the nerves of knowing we're going to be recording this tonight.
Oh yeah, definitely. Anyway, I'd like to say to everyone who has voted, thank you very much. I mean, it was a bit unexpected, to be honest, but I'm really glad to be doing it. I mean, we had a test run through last night, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, which went brilliantly. So I'm really looking. I'm enjoying doing this recording. I'd like to thank everyone who voted and all the listeners who listen to the podcast as well. Thank you. Thank you very much. And do join the forums, join in the conversations on there, because we like to hear from everybody.
No, definitely. I'd like to echo that as well. I was kind of watching the poll with kind of bated breath, expecting there to be a last minute kind of rush of votes for someone and to be denied at the last minute. But yeah, again, thank you very much for everyone that voted for me and Uniforix, and hopefully we'll do you proud for a good episode.
So when did Andy tell you we were going to do this podcast together?
I think I got a text message on Sunday.
Yeah, because the first I knew about it was when you actually texted me and said, "Oh, we've got to get a podcast ready for Friday." Must have made you pretty nervous. I know it made me nervous.
You know, in at the deep end.
Yeah, definitely.
That's Starters, you mean to go on?
Yeah, that's the subtitle for this podcast, In at the Deep End.
I think that's quite apt.
Yeah, we've had a little bit of a look behind the scenes. Looks quite hectic.
Yeah, this is a secret little area.
There is, yeah. I'm not sure what we're supposed to say about that, so better keep that a secret, I think. We'll let Andy tell people about that. I think there's a future podcast maybe coming up about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I have been in touch with Andy, actually. We've got a few plans for the site. I think he mentioned it on one of the recent podcasts. Again, I'm not going to go into too much detail at the minute because I don't know what he wants people to know.
Secret. Secret plans. But secret plans will only mean that, you know, better for the podcast. Oh, yeah. and the community. So
improvements for the website, just some expansion and ideas that Andy's got. I think it's going to be good.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So how was the weekend? Yeah, I heard that you went car booting.
You know me, I like a car boot sale.
I've always seen your things turning up on Twitter.
Yes. It was... The last couple of weeks have been not as fruitful as previously, but then people on Twitter disagree with my view on that. But I think I've been a bit spoilt with the amount of stuff I've previously been able to kind of find. But what were the highlights from this weekend? I got... let's have a look. What did I get? I got two N64 control pads, a yellow one and a green one, for a couple of pounds each, which...
Yeah,
it is pretty good considering on eBay and the like, they seem to be a £10 or you know, kind of a universal price.
Yeah,
I managed to get a mint condition Xbox original console. Wouldn't normally, I kind of stopped buying them now because I've got a few of them, but it was in absolutely mint condition. And what made it better was when I actually opened it up and I got it home. It actually has the little infrared sensor and the remote control, which I didn't actually have with any previous Xboxes.
Right, excellent, yeah.
And that was a kind of bargain, £7.50, so I couldn't resist that. But I think the best deal of the day was definitely there was a family with a stall, and I noticed they had two Game Boys. And they're the Game Boy Pockets, so they're the smaller version of the original Game Boy. A clear one and a red one, and they had the little Nintendo carry cases with it as well. Mm-hmm. And had 14 games for it. And
right,
I said, how much are you kind of looking for it? And he kind of said an amount, and I haggled a little bit, and I got down to £10. So I was pretty happy with that one.
Yeah, that's a great pickup. Yeah,
that was definitely bargain of the day.
Yeah, I don't have much experience with the car boots. I know that Andy's been on about me getting in touch with Glenn and is maybe doing runs to some car boot sales.
You need to do a Northern car boot challenge.
Definitely. Yeah, we'll definitely have to get that sorted out. If you're listening, Glenn, get in touch and we'll sort something out. The only experience I do have is that I did go to a car boot sale in Bingley quite a few years ago. And I managed to pick up, I think I told you when we were running over last night, there was a Mega Drive. It was actually a Master System.
Okay.
I saw this Master System. It had about 8 games with it. I asked the price and she said, oh, £5. So I thought, £5, nice. That's nice, yeah. And to be honest, I thought she just meant for the Master System. So I give her the £5 and I sort of glanced at her and she's like, just glanced back. So I picked all the games up and just walked off. So a Master System with 8 games for £5.
Yeah, no, that is a mega deal. That is. I don't think I've ever got anything to the value of, you know, of that pickup anyway.
Yeah,
a
I mean,
console like that and 8 games for £5 is pretty good. I picked up a £2 GameCube, but I don't think that really
Yeah, I mean, this is going back, I think it was 6 or 7 years ago. So obviously now if you go, maybe people know that, you know, that people are picking up on these retro items and they're maybe trying to mark them up a little bit.
Yeah,
it's not as bad as obviously trying to pick them up on eBay where they're certainly marked up quite a lot.
I wish I could go back in time, you know, as you say, 5 or 6 years ago, because I shudder to think that the things that must have been popping up at boot sales there. I mean, no doubt collectors were still collecting back then, but the things I must have missed out on before it got popular.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You mainly collect the consoles.
Consoles are what I grew up with. I mean, I was always the console person. My older brother, he's 7 years older than me, he was very much the computer man. So I didn't necessarily have a need to buy a computer because he had one. So,
yeah.
You know, he was the one that got interested in the computing side, a bit of programming, but not too much. But because he always had one, I didn't need to. So the first ever thing I played on was an Atari 2600. And that kind of brought me into the console kind of era, I guess. I was always a console man after that. But you were very much in the computing side, weren't you?
Yeah, I was mostly the computer. I started off with an Oric, which is not exactly the most popular computer over here.
Never even heard of it until your edition, to be perfectly honest.
Right, yeah. I liked it. Nice little machine. It looked nice. Nice little black and red number. So I liked the look of it. And obviously, if you pick one of those up now, it doesn't suffer from the yellowing problem of things like the C64 and the Electron, because of the cream colouring, they tend to yellow quite a lot.
Yeah, the dreaded yellowing of...
Yeah. There's a product you can get called RetroBrite that you can use to restore them.
Yeah, I've seen that actually, yeah.
Yeah, or of course you could do what Matt did and he completely recoloured his C64. I was well impressed with that. Did you see that on
E-Plus? Yeah, no, that looked absolutely amazing.
Did look really, really nice. Yeah.
I like seeing an original console or computer, but then I also really like seeing when people will have customised them in some way with you know, special... Some people put LEDs and things like that in a Super Nintendo and they change the colour of the plastic and they do look good. And I kind of like both, you know.
Yeah, it shows that people really care about the kit and they just want to, you know, do something just to modernise it a little bit. But yeah, I really liked the one that Matt did. It looked really good.
I think the other guy, Paul, on the forums, he does quite a lot of modifications on consoles and things, doesn't he? I think he's added RGB ports and things like that to some consoles to get the graphics sharper.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah, I think one of the Electrons that I've got, I'm pretty certain the Electrons used to just have a black and white video out on them. One of the ones I've got is colour. I'm pretty certain that wasn't the standard, but obviously I'd have to look that up and check that out. But yeah, it's great when people modify them, just make them slightly better, just to bring them slightly up to date.
Yeah, definitely.
I was looking at a few things on eBay this week. I just missed out on a few things. It's a bit of a mixed bag, though, is eBay, as you will probably appreciate.
Definitely.
Yeah, I got. I mean, for instance, there was one guy on eBay who was selling. It was just two manuals for some hardware for the Electron. There was a manual for the Electron Plus One. And a manual for the Electron Plus 3. Now, the Plus 3 is a disc interface. The Plus 1 added joystick support and things for the Acorn Electron. And one guy was selling them at £3.50 each, plus £2 postage and packaging. And then another seller was selling the two manuals separate for £12.99 each. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you get a real variety of prices on eBay. The best way that I... try and work out what the true value of an item is, well, as much as possible anyway, on eBay, if you type in what you're actually searching for, say, for example, I was looking for, you know, Street Fighter 2 and the SNES.
Yeah.
You know, if you do the initial search result, you'll find ones at auction, you know, starting at 99p. You'll find ones that are probably buy it now, $9.99, something like that. But it's hard to know roughly what it's worth. A little tip is... when you type in what you're looking for, you can go to kind of the advanced search options, and you can tick something called completed listings. When you press enter on that, and the search results, it shows you all, everything listed with the price in green tells you what it sold for, and everything listed in red tells you what it didn't sell for. So if you basically take a week's price and average it out, that will roughly tell you what, you know, I guess the going kind of rate is for that item. Because as you say, the $12.99 one, I bet that was a buy it now price.
I can
put anything on eBay and put a buy it now price, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's worth it, you know.
Some people are just out there to make money,
unfortunately.
Absolutely brilliant tip. So nice tip there from Retro Hunter.
Thank you.
Yeah,
one, it's funny, one every week.
Yeah, let's make it a regular spot, eh? Yeah, it's funny you should mention that 99p though, because I was absolutely gutted the other day. Andy's obviously got this little retro gaming event that he's going to be in, which we'll discuss a little later on. But one of the games that he's going to be playing down there is Micro Machines 2, the tournament version.
Yeah.
I just missed out on one the other day. 99 pence it was. It was 15 minutes left on the auction, and I noticed it, 99 pence. And then, of course, typically, as happens, you get distracted by something. I don't even know what it was. I think I went to make a cup of tea or something and then just forgot what I was doing. I regularly do that. And I missed out on it, 99 pence.
Missing out on that at 99 pence would hurt. It would hurt. I think, as we said quickly last night, I've many a time been looking at something on eBay and thought, oh, right, a couple of minutes left, I need to look at this, and been distracted within about 10 seconds by my son or the wife or something. And then to remember, you know, 10 seconds after it's finished or something like that. And as you say, it's gone for a cheap amount, and it can be frustrating, to say the least.
Absolutely, especially when you do a search afterwards to see if there's any others, and they're all like 15.99, 20 quid.
Yep.
All that's ridiculous price. Buy it now, as you explained. Yeah, they'll all be listed as buy it now.
Yeah, things tend to be cheaper around midday, I've seen, on eBay.
Right.
You can get some real deals during the kind of daytime. In the evening time, there's more people, I think, looking at it, etc. And ones that finish late at night or early in the earlier hours, they tend to go for a better price as well.
Okay, so yeah, definitely get on there at the right time then.
Hello, Mr. Sid here. If you're after some retro gaming goodness, then you have come to the right place. From the Speccy to the Sega Master System, Capcom to Codemasters, and Space Invaders to Space Harrier, it's all covered in the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
So what have I been doing this week? Oh, yeah, I tell you what, the electrons that I picked up off eBay, I've had problems with both of them.
Ouch.
Both of them have had different keys that didn't work. Now, I wish I could just, you know, sort of mash the two together and have a completely working machine. But I decided anyway, I'm just gonna take them apart and have a look at it. So I thought I was gonna go into there and find out that there was, you know, some horrible rusting somewhere on something and things were gonna need to be replaced. But as it turned out, you know what your PC keyboard's like, you turn it upside down and you get bits of sandwich falling out of it.
Yeah, that's definitely my work one.
Bits of chocolate bar that had been stuck in it. And I opened it up, gave it all a vacuum out. I got some cotton wool buds and I sprayed a bit of glasses cleaner on it, believe it or not. Gave it all a clean nice. Out, put it all back together, and it all worked. Both perfect.
Excellent. So
if you ever pick anything up off eBay and they've got little problems like that, it could be nothing. Don't be afraid to just take them apart and give them a clean out. I believe that if you've got any real issues with your machine, though, Damien at the event, he'll be there to give some advice.
At Retromania, yeah. He's doing a clinic, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So last night you mentioned that you picked some Electron games up. Also, can you remember what they were?
I did, yeah. I mean, that was part of the pickup I had a few weeks ago, which I think I tweeted about, which was very ironic that I did a local pickup search on eBay, and I happened to use the phrase Atari, and what popped up was a boxed Atari is it 1200? I can't remember now. My mind's gone blank. What was it? No, sorry. It was an Atari 520 ST. That was it, with a discovery pack and a quick shot joystick. And I was following it for a good week. And I think my initial bid was, I think it was $9.99 or something like that. I think maybe that's what it was posted up at. And it got down to the afternoon of it finishing, and someone tried to beat me to it, but I managed to hold tight and got it. And I knew it was obviously local to me, but when the kind of lady actually messaged me about where she lived, it was 10 houses down from where I lived.
That's uncanny. Brilliant.
Which I just thought was hilarious, given I bought it from eBay and, you know, the distances that I've travelled for previously to get these kind of things. But when I went and picked it up, she basically handed me a box and said, I've got these as well, if you like. And I happen to be Electron Games, yeah.
Ah, right, okay, yeah. Well, you'll have to let me know what they are, because obviously, I mean, I've just started collecting again, so I'm short on things. So, you know.
There's some classic ones there. I mean, what is there? There's Elite,
yep.
which is definitely a favourite.
It is a classic game. I mean, and to be honest, I never got into Elite when I was younger. I was a very impatient gamer. I didn't have time. I tended to play things that were really quick, like Manic Miner, Chucky Egg, that you could just go straight into quick game and off you go. But what an impressive game, Elite. How did they fit that into the small amount of memory that was available to them? It was absolutely astounding.
I'm going to confess here, I don't think I've ever played it.
No? Not on any system?
But when I look at the artwork on it, I recognise it. And it may be that my brother played it and I watched him. So that's one thing I used to love as well. I used to love watching my brother play games as well, because I was very young at the time and I wasn't very good myself. And, you know, I didn't get to see a lot of the game because I just wasn't very good. So seeing him getting, you know, to, you know, advanced levels of the game and stuff like that, I was just as happy watching as I was kind of playing. But I don't know if I remember the artwork because I'd seen it so many times in magazines, in computer shops, etc., or if I actually played it or not. I think I'd need to actually see the game running to see whether or not I did or not. I think I'll check it out on YouTube when this finishes, actually.
Yeah, check it out. And there's remakes of it available now for your PC as well. So.
Was there sequels to the original game?
Yeah, there was. I think the second one, I think, was called Frontier. But I don't know the full details of it. I'd have to look.
That rings a bell as well.
Okay, yeah. You mentioned Sunset Raiders.
Sunset Riders.
Sunset Riders.
Yeah, that's probably been my best ever pickup from a car boot sale, which I didn't actually realise at the time was going to be such a good pickup as it was. But as I think I mentioned on my pickup on a couple of podcasts ago, there was a kind of store with a couple of probably girls in their mid-20s and had normal kind of girly stuff up. And just as I happened to be walking past, they kind of pulled out a carrier bag and then literally started pulling out box stairs games. It was early in the morning. I had to rub my eyes to make sure I was actually seeing what I was seeing, because I've never seen a box stairs game on a stall that hasn't been a trader, and obviously at kind of trader rates. So I kind of literally like zeroed in on it. Like the Terminator, saw the target, zeroed in on it.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about your eagle eyes.
Yeah. So I've got a cross between Predator Vision and Terminator Vision, it's been said. I can neither confirm or deny that. But when I went and saw what they actually had, they had, let me think. There was Sunset Riders, which was boxed. There was a game called Rival Turf, which was boxed. I can't remember now. There was a loose cart of Donkey Kong, a loose cart of Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and a couple of other boxed games. But there was a boxed Super Game Boy, which is the converter that you put into the SNES to allow you to play Game Boy games on it.
Right. Yeah.
And everything was marked up at £2 each, and. Worked out as being £14, so I did the usual haggle of, would you take a tenner for it all? She was like, oh, I'm happy to take a tenner for it all. I didn't bring it and put it in the bin. And I was like, you can't say that to me. that makes me want to cry hearing that. So glad you took a tenner, and I kind of put them in my little Retro Hunter back, rucksack, and off I went, quite happy. It was only when I got home and I started posting the pickup pictures on Twitter, and someone tweeted me to say, you know, that's actually a very rare game. It's worth, you know, quite a lot of money. So I've been doing my research, etc., and it is, yeah. I mean, box versions of it go for well over £100. So,
oh yeah, yeah. I've seen Sunset Riders on eBay myself for 120 odd quid. I've played it on the arcade table here, but there's a guy who posted on the forums. He played it all the way through, didn't he, without losing a life?
Really?
How do people do that?
That's quite a tough game, I thought, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
The bullets are quite slow in the beginning part, but then by the end, I swear they have homing abilities. But it's a good game. I've really enjoyed playing it with my son, actually. I've been playing it on co-op mode quite a lot with him, and he really enjoys it, and I enjoy playing it with him. So although it's worth that money, it will be staying in my collection.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've talked about my computer history. Obviously, I was into the home computers, the Oric, the Electron, the Amiga, into quite a lot of programming on the Electron and the Amiga as well. I didn't get into the consoles until quite late on, mainly because I had a friend who had a SNES, so I played on his games down there. Star Fox, obviously, I remember.
Yeah.
But consoles are definitely your thing.
I do love a console. I do love a computer as well, but the computer I probably played on mainly was the Amiga. And that was more or less just games. I never really got into the other kind of side of it at all. But I'm enjoying collecting them now, and I'm going to set aside a couple of weeks where I just don't play a console and play the computers and see if I can get that love going for them.
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned, the Amiga was the home computer for games. I was absolutely blown away by that when I saw things like Shadow of the Beast on it. Absolutely blown.
Yeah, I played that, yeah. I played that on the Amiga.
Yeah. On the SNES, I tell you what, I had Super Probotector. That was one of my favourites. Contra 3.
Yeah, I had Contra 3 as well. I had it as an NTSC cartridge. I bought it at the same time as I got an import version of Street Fighter 2. So yeah, I love that game. It's one I'm trying to get now for the collection. Actually, I'm trying to get all the SNES games I had originally. I find it really hard to remember exactly the games I had.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, people discuss things and all of a sudden you'll think, I remember that. Yeah, I remember it. But it's difficult to remember everything that you played back in the day.
I think I mentioned it as well, you know. I think back and I did have a fair few games and they weren't cheap, were they?
No, absolutely not. I mean, there's been the discussions. In fact, I don't know if you've listened. Have you listened? Because we've had a week of podcasts now. By the time you know this plays, have you listened to Matt's on the piracy?
I did indeed. Actually, I listened to it on the way home on the train tonight. Yeah, it's a very, very good podcast. I like Matt's podcasts. There's always a lot of thought into them. So
there nice is, one, yeah. Matt. And it's absolutely true that I don't think there's anyone you'll meet that didn't have something in their little box of discs that was, you know, a pirate copy.
Yeah, no, it was an interesting both points of view that Matt put forward. I mean, yes, it did. It must have, you know, affected the, you know, the companies in the market. But how many people played, you know, a game and then bought the sequel, you know? Not everyone just use pirate, you know.
No, exactly. And it is the same with music these days, isn't it? Sometimes you'll hear something and you'll think, oh, that is a really good song, so I'm going to buy that. I'm going to buy the rest of the album.
Exactly. And then, you know, I'll admit I downloaded music for a while. I mean, I can't now for various reasons. But I definitely downloaded some MP3s of a band that I hadn't heard before, really liked it, ended up going to see them in concert, you know, and then end up buying subsequent albums. And I may not ever have done that without, you know, hearing those songs in that way. So I think it's very much the same for games as well.
Exactly. It's got its negative sides, got its positive sides. So I remember I was listening to your podcast, your audition, the other day, and there was a game that you couldn't remember. I think it was Karate Champ.
That's the karate one that was on the log that I mentioned, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. The one that's unusual. Two joysticks, no buttons.
No, definitely. That's very, very fondly remembered from an arcade on South End Seafront, which is obviously where I grew up and spent a lot of my childhood, as I mentioned in the audition. And I can remember exactly where that machine was in the exact arcade, the Happy Drome on South End Seafront, which I think Mikey J. Hay from the forums here, he likes to go in there and have a game of Space Invaders and Track and Field because they've still got a few retro machines.
Yeah, Track and Field is a classic. Since I built my arcade table here, I've been playing things like that on there. Yeah, absolutely.
When I first got MAME, I completely ruined, I think, three keyboards playing Track and Field, bashing those buttons.
Yeah. 4.6 metres.
Yeah.
Well, what else? I saw you've been playing on your Atari 2600 that you mentioned as well. What have you been playing on that?
This mega pickup that I got, I ended up getting three Atari 2600s, the Woody Switcher ones, and they're all, each one of them is made in a different country, I think, as well. One of them is a Sunnydale model, but it's not, unfortunately, the famous Heavy Sixer, which is decidedly more valuable than the other kind of models. But it came with a load of games, so I was literally putting the game in, playing it for a little while, making sure it works. Some were holding my attention longer than others were, but there was one particular game that my wife and my son happened to be in the room at the same time, and it was Smurfs on the 2600, which, to be honest, until I saw the cartridge, didn't even know existed. And I couldn't jump over the first obstacle. There's an obstacle in it, and I couldn't for life me jump over it. I used a whole series of lives and had to continue on a new game. And then at that point, I realised that you actually had to press the button twice to do a double jump, which is why I just failed to clear this rock or bit of wood, or I don't even remember what it was now. But yeah. they were laughing at me, and I was embarrassed, and I was blaming the controller, you know.
Yeah, well,
as we do. It's not me, it's the controller.
I've got to be honest, I had a game on it after I saw you tweeting about it, because I don't have much experience of the Atari 2600 at all. I think the only thing I ever played on it was a game of Pong at a lad's house. And what happened that day, I think I met this lad who was a friend of one of my friends. And I actually got into a bit of trouble that day because I disappeared and my parents didn't know where I was. And I'd gone right out of his house and got on this Atari 2600 playing Pong. Just completely lost track of time. But I had a gun. I had a gun, the Smurfs, and I see exactly what you mean. I did exactly the same thing. I got to that first fence, pressing to jump, and it just did a little small jump. So I can't remember if I double tapped or held the button down, and then all of a sudden it does this almighty jump over it.
Yeah.
And it just was because you didn't have the I didn't have the instructions, obviously. I was playing it on an emulator. Don't know these things, do you? That's some of the problems with the emulators. If you don't have the original boxes with the original instructions, then sometimes you struggle to know how to play the games.
I think I had that with more than one of those Atari games, though. There's a few on there, a sports-based game. I think there's a basketball one there, and I had no idea how to control the people at whatsoever. I call them people, but they're not really people.
All the auditions, what do you reckon to each of these auditions? I think there was absolutely fantastic stuff submitted. Absolutely.
No, I agree. I enjoyed absolutely every single one of them. And when I did my vote, it was a really hard choice, but I just had to go for the ones that just kind of hit me, you know, interested me the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, there was different things discussed. There was the home computers, and I'll be honest, I tended to move more towards those people who discussed the home computers simply because that was in line with, you know, the kind of things that I did. So you'd obviously tend to want to choose someone who's had a similar past to yourself, I guess. But there was some absolutely fantastic stuff. Andrew Joseph, obviously, he runs the York Folk website. Absolutely great, and I loved hearing all about, you know, his experiences and with the home computers. And Dirk Dig Dugler, he talking about his experiences with the Commodore 64, etc. Hulikul, I guess, what do you reckon to Hulikul? He talked more about arcades and things like that, which is more your area, isn't it?
That was definitely more up my street. That was, arcades. Yep, I grew up in them. He seems to have spent a lot of time in them as well. And, we seem to have followed the same kind of path to, end up in a, retro gamer.
Absolutely brilliant. Soul Star, and obviously, I think he covered the sort of the piracy issue as well that Matt's talked about on his recent podcast. Again, another brilliant audition. And I mean, it's just... it's a pity that we couldn't all become co-hosts, isn't it?
It is, but I think as Andy said, I think everyone's audition was of a really high quality. So, although we've been the lucky ones who've become the co-hosts, I think everyone's gonna have multiple chances to help us do a podcast or do features, or there's loads of windows of opportunities out there. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to hearing from these guys again. Simon on Castlevania was brilliant, and Aveni talking about his C64 and his little bits of hacks that he did. And I've watched some of his game reviews, his video game reviews online as well, and they're all really entertaining. Especially when he talked about, I think on one of them he talked about being in Woolworths. I remember going into Woolworths quite a lot when I was younger and looking at all the computer games and things.
Woolworths, there was definitely a place where I bought games for, but until recently, when I got some NES games in one of these mega pickups that I've done, was the fact that it had a Boots price label on it. And I completely forgot the Boots sold computer games for a while.
Oh, I used to go into Boots quite often. I used to go in there and... Obviously, I had the Acorn Electron. I'll be honest with you, I used to look enviously at the Commodore 64 shelves. And I remember that I got... I didn't get a ZX Spectrum, but what I did was I went into Boots one day and I was so envious of these games that were there that I actually bought a few. Even though I did not have the Spectrum, I bought some Spectrum games. And then I got a mate at school who said, I want to sell my... I'm going to get rid of my Spectrum. And I snapped it up. I got it off him and I could play these games that I got. And I probably owned them for about 4 months before I actually got to play them.
I'm pretty sure I've bought computer games in anticipation of getting a console for a birthday or Christmas. That definitely rings a bell with me. I can't remember which one, but I'm pretty sure I've done that.
Yeah.
Well, right. I've definitely done that when it comes to retro gaming. Anyway, I've definitely got games for things that I don't own yet.
In fact, definitely. If you see a bargain, you got to just go for it, haven't you? I mean, I've just got an Atari Jaguar.
Yeah,
nice little machine. Nice. I mean, I've only got two games for it: Cybermorph and Tempest.
Okay, that's a must. Tempest is that? Yeah. Is that a Jeff Minter game?
It is a Jeff Minter game, yeah. Apparently, it's his favourite version of the game as well. I mean, I don't know. He's brought a new one out now. Has he brought one out for the PSP or something? But I think his favourite, original old retro version, from what I understand, is the Jaguar version.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I picked that up, actually, because my girlfriend mentioned that she used to have this play on this game. And it used to say things like, "Where did you learn to fly?" And she didn't know what game it was, so I looked it up and I found it on the internet, and it was Cybermorph.
I think the Jaguar is possibly, let me think, is that the only console that I've actually never played on, ever?
Right, well, I'd never played on it, no.
I don't think I have. I think I've played on most other ones. I don't think I have. No, I think it's possibly the only one I've never played on.
Oh, you'll have to keep an eye out at the boot sales. Let us know if you get one as a real bargain.
I've never seen a Jaguar at a boot sale. Never.
No, I got mine off eBay. I got it boxed. Box is a little bit tatty. To be honest, I can't even remember what I paid for it, but it is a nice little system.
Talking of Atari and talking of games that I've bought before I've actually owned the system, I had something delivered today, which I've actually been after for a very long time, and I'm actually holding it in my hands right now. And it's can you guess what it is? It's an extremely big handheld.
Is it a Sega Game Gear?
Close.
Atari Lynx.
Oh yes, an Atari Lynx. It's a Mark II, which is the kind of smaller version than the Mark I, which is kind of fatter, I think, but it's not as long. But it's a big handheld console, and I've wanted one of these for years, ever since a friend of mine at senior school had it, along with California Games, I think, and it's actually one of my favourite games of all time is available on this system, right. which is APB. I love that game, and I literally for years I wanted a Lynx just to be able to play APB and California Games on it. So this is one I've waited for a pretty long time. But I bought a couple of sealed Lynx games from a boot sale for like, I don't know, it's like £3 for two of them or something. But they were a bit of a sealed, brand new, Kung Fu and Steel Talons, I think it's called.
Right.
But I mean, I had a real touch with this Lynx machine.
So in good condition, good working condition, is it?
Yeah, no. Looking at it, there's not a single scratch on the screen or the buttons.
Really? Yeah.
They all seem to work.
Retro sound.
Yeah, the cartridge slides in and out nicely. But I paid £10 for this.
Bargain.
£10 with a postage of £1, and when I got it delivered today, it's been sent special delivery, and it costs £6.99 to send it. So,
oh wow,
that certain well-known online store, which I won't name because I'm using it as my secret little place to find such bargains at the moment.
I'm hacking your computer as we speak,
which will remain nameless. I've got a really good deal out of them, so yeah, good.
Excellent. Okay, I think move on to some site news. Obviously, we've had a week of podcasts, so I hope that everyone's enjoyed listening to them, which I believe is ending up with the pair of us.
I think,
and I hope they've enjoyed this one so far.
Yeah, I think that we will be the last one, won't we? I think.
Yeah, I think that. Well, yeah, we will be. So. I'm going to have to go back and listen through all these podcasts because obviously we've been recording this and I kind of feel like I've missed out on a few, really.
No, exactly. I kind of feel sorry for Andy with all the editing he must have been doing this week as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I heard they've been having a few problems with Skype as well.
Fingers crossed that this is the only one time that we record this and we don't have to do it all over again. So
I seriously hope it's worked.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Okay, we've got the Retro Asylum Gaming Meetup that Andy is organising, and that is going to be at the Wickford Community Centre. He's got a fair list of consoles there, so I think that's going to be a really good do. And obviously, we're going to have the gaming tournaments that were mentioned earlier. The events will be from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., and then I believe that they're going to have a bar afterwards, so obviously you better stand around and chat about all your favourite games. I think that's going to be really good. In fact, I hope that I can get down to it. I'm going to try to. And then that event is completely free to all the retro maniacs. It's a bank holiday, and I've forgotten to type the date in. So
it's
Sunday
the 25th of August.
Sunday the 25th of August.
Oh, yes. Excellent.
Thank you.
Hello, this is your friend the Amiga speaking. I want to thank our sponsors. Without you, the best retro podcast ever would not be able to continue, and the whole team thanks you. Apparently, even Uniforks has donated. This surprises me as he is usually a real tight kid with his money. How did you get him to put his hand in his pocket? Unbelievable. Anyhow, thanks to Andrew Kirk, David Chief, and Mick O'Kay, you make our Hall of Fame. Maybe next time I will mention more people, but for now I need my rest. I am getting on a bit, you know. Oh, one last thing. Foggy has asked if you could please listen to podcast 46 and remember to claim your characters. Listen to the podcast for instructions. It is all good fun.
Okay, now don't forget that all the listeners out there, we need you. We need you to take part. It's a community thing, is this podcast. We've got the forums. We need you to sign up to the forums. Get in there. Give us your views. I think I've seen a review on iTunes recently. One guy said that he loves the podcast. I can't remember who it was, but he's shouting at least 10 times an episode at the people that, oh no, this isn't right. It's this, it's that. Get in the forums, tell us. We don't mind if we're wrong. You know, if you want to correct us, get in there, discuss it. You know, everyone's got their views. It'd be great for you to just get in there and tell us about your retro experiences too.
And we always appreciate a nice 5-star iTunes review as well.
Oh, of course we do. Yeah. I mean, we've had a week of podcasts. That's the idea. We're going to try and really push Retro Asylum, really try and push it, get it up the charts and increase its popularity. But, you know, thanks to all the listeners out there. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.
This is Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
And I'm going to review the good local...
Great outtake.
The last thing I've got to say, and I can't even say it.
It's midnight.
it's midnight, yeah. So we've been recording this since yesterday.
Exactly.
Right, okay, here we go. I should be rude.
Yeah, I think we'll move on to that soon. Okay, I'm going to be quiet.
And I should be reviewing Sunset Riders on the Super Nintendo.
Right, I think that's it. I think we're done.